Recordings have started.
Thanks very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Thomas Rickert, speaking one of the co-chairs of the CCWG, and I would like to welcome all of you to this 26th meeting of the Workstream 2 CCWG Accountability Plenary on February 7th at 5 UTC. Now, let me ask, as usual, whether there are any updates to statements of interest. I don't see anything in the chat, nor do I see any hands. Then we're going to take the roll call from the Adobe, as usual. So let me ask whether there are any attendees of this meeting that are just on the audio bridge and not in the Adobe.
Steve Del Bianco is audio only. Thank you.
Good morning, Steve, or good afternoon. Good night, Steve. Thanks very much. We will add you to the list of attendees.
Jordan Carter at the moment only on audio, just coming into the room now.
Great. Hi, Jordan. Anyone else? That doesn't seem to be the case. Then, as usual, I'd like to remind you of the standards of behavior that we apply to these meetings, which I'm sure all of you have read and taken good note of, which allows us to go to the next agenda item, and that's the review of the agenda. So the agenda has been circulated by the MSSI Secretariat. So let me check whether there are any requests for changes or additions to the agenda of this meeting. And I'm just seeing in the chat that Barak is also audio only. So Barak, we will add you to the list as well. There don't seem to be any requests for changes to the agenda or comments on the agenda, which allows us to move to the third agenda item, and that's going to be managed by Tijani. Tijani, over to you.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. So the third agenda item is administration. And we start by 3.1, which is an update on the budget. And I will ask Bernie to take this point. Bernie, please.
Thank you very much to Johnny. Not much to go over. This is the same document that was distributed and is on the wiki. From the cross-community working group budget, as you can see, we're about at 5% of our spend, so we're doing great. And on the ICANN support, we're about at 23%. So ICANN Finance is happy. We're doing our work without spending excessive amounts of money. Of course, the big savings is we haven't been using outside legal services. And I'm not going to stretch this out any further. We're just doing well. So I'll be glad to take questions if there are any.
Any comments? I don't see any hands. So we can go to the item number 3.2, which is item 61. The ICANN 61 face-to-face plenary will take place, as you know, in Puerto Rico on Friday, 9 March, from 8:30 to 1700 local time, which is 12:30 2100 UTC. The ICANN Legal may wish to address the community, to address our plenary in the last hour of this plenary to speak about the selection of the IRP panel. As you know, the IRP standing panel to be selected with the community. The community will have a role in this selection, and I think this is why the ICANN legal will wish perhaps to address us about this. Any comments on that? Otherwise, we will go to 3.3. Okay, 3.3, Bernie, can you speak about ICANN 62?
Thank you, Tijani. ICANN 62, we're going to Panama now that we seem to have gotten over the Zika issue, and that'll be 25 through 28 June 2018. The co-chairs are recommending we hold the usual pre-conference face-to-face on Sunday, 24 June. And, of course, as we usually do, we ask for any objections from the plenary to doing what we usually do. Also, I'll stop for a moment to see if there are any objections. Not seeing any, we'll continue on. The co-chairs recommend we use the standard participant funding system that we have been using since Workstream 1. I think it's fairly well streamlined. Everyone understands it, understands how it works. And again, we'll require, let's just call it, if there are any objections to using the standard system. So I'll wait here to see if there are any. Not seeing any, I'll take that as confirmed. Just a quick reminder, if there's anyone who's unfamiliar with the funding rules, you have to be an SO or AC nominated member, or a co-chair, or a rapporteur. That's it. There are no other groups that are allowed to be funded because our funding is very limited. Confirmation of travel funding dates. As usual, we need to be prepared very well in advance to meet the ICANN requirements. We will begin accepting applications Monday, 19 February at 01, right after the stroke of midnight leading into the start of Monday. We'll close applications on Monday, 19 March at 23:59. So basically, we're giving it 1 month, which is pretty much our standard delay. And we have to submit our final list to ICANN on Monday, 27 March. As usual, successful applicants will be posted on our website. That's it for me. I'll be glad to take any questions on ICANN 62.
So if there is no question about ICANN 62, we can go to the agenda item number 3.4, review of schedule to ICANN 62. And I think Natalie will take us to the timeline in ICANN 62. Natalie, please.
Thank you, Tijani. Hello, everyone. This is Natalie Vergnol. So I'm going to walk you through the detailed timeline to the finish line. And I want to do that backwards. So starting from the bottom right, looking at the face-to-face meeting in Panama City on June 24th, and giving ourselves about a month to work on final revisions to the report means the public comment period needs to end on May 24th. With a public comment period of 42 days, it means that we need to start our public comment period no later than mid-April. So we put we scheduled a plenary session towards the end of March for second reading of the final report. And which means with ICANN meeting in March, we don't really have to allow people to go to the meeting and travel back. There's not much time for any other plenary meeting before the between the face-to-face meeting of the 9th and the end of March. So it means that the first reading of the final report would need to take place at the face-to-face meeting in Puerto Rico on March 9th. Now, if we look up at the subgroup recommendations, as you know, we had to extend the public comment period till mid-January, which means that we lost a few days there towards the beginning of January to work on the analysis of those public comments. So it's going to be a bit of a rush to work on these revisions, as you can see the timeline is really, really tight. We do need to finalize the subgroup recommendations to produce the final report. And so there's really no way around the fact that we need to do our first reading of the final subgroup recommendations at the face-to-face meeting in Puerto Rico on March 9th, with the 1 week period for to allow people to review documents. It means that the subgroups need to have finalized their recommendations at the latest on March 2nd. We have scheduled three plenary sessions between now and the face-to-face meeting to allow as much communication as possible to make sure that we make this this timeline. And I just want to encourage everybody to participate in the subgroup discussions so that we can move through the revision of the final recommendations as quickly as possible. And with that, I will open the floor for questions.
So any comments? I don't see any. Ah, okay. Sebastian.
Hello. Can you hear me okay? Sebastian Bachelet speaking.
I hear you.
Yeah, thank you, Tijani. Just one question. It seems that we plan to have the first reading for both the last version of the subgroup report and the first full document. Is that a good understanding, or there is differences between what we want to do with the subgroup and what we want to do with the final full report? Thank you.
You have the right reading, Sebastian. And unfortunately, we now don't have any more room, and we need to do things in parallel. So we don't really have another option but to do that.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, if there is no other question, I will give the floor to Jordan for the next item, agenda item. Jordan, please.
Putting myself off mute. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Okay, thanks. Hi, it's Jordan Carter here, one of the three co-chairs. This agenda item might be quite brief or it might not. We're just aiming for a very quick update from each of the subgroups that are working on analyzing public comments and considering any changes to their recommendations. And we'll go through them in the order that is listed on the screen. Are any of the rapporteurs from the diversity subgroup on the call? It's Fiona or Rafiq. And if not, no, I don't think they are. Is that a group that staff could provide a brief report back for us on? or Cheryl is on. Cheryl, you're one of those co-rapporteurs as well, are you not?
No, I'm not a rapporteur like several others. I'm just an ardent follower.
Okay. Who could give us an update on the work of that group?
I'm happy to give a go at that, however, Cheryl, for the record. I'm just not one of the co-rapporteurs.
Okay, well, why don't you do that for us?
Okay, thanks. Cheryl, for the record here, I didn't want to be mislabeled. And Sebastian is also on the call and is one of our stoic regulars. Unfortunately, Julie Hammer, who is also I don't think she's missed any of the diversity calls, I could be wrong, is an apology for today. So either of us could have brought us up to speed. We are going through perhaps a little slower than we would like to see the public comments at the moment, and we, to that end, may indeed need to increase the duration on our weekly meetings if needs be to meet the deadlines. But I don't fear for us being able to do so, particularly with a recent discussion on how we can move forward in line of paying attention now to the comments that have a criticism or concern. And in fact, if you analyse any of the public comments of criticisms and concerns for the eight, if you would care to remember them, recommendations from the diversity subgroup, they are clustered around one or two issues, and so we should be able to polish it up in fair time. Bernie, have I misinterpreted it?
Stellar job as usual.
There you go, Jordan. Thanks.
Great. Thanks very much, Cheryl. Are there any questions for Cheryl about that progress? Keep a brief eye on the queue, and if anyone does have any questions that they remember as we go, they can ask them at the end of this agenda item. Jurisdiction is our next group. I see Greg Chatan is on the call, who is the rapporteur for that group. Greg, could you take us through a quick update on the proceedings of the group? If you are doing that, we can't hear you, which might involve a muting issue. Greg needs to fix audio. While Greg fixes audio, I might... we can hear you. Greg, please go ahead.
Sorry, Jordan, this was Bernie. I was suggesting maybe we can go to Ombudsman since we have Sebastian.
Yes. Okay. No, I misrecognized the voice. I apologize to everyone for this horrible omission. 4.3 is Ombudsman. Sebastian, you're on the call. Are you able to give us an update of the work of that group in dealing with the public comments?
Yes, thank you very much, Jordan. Sebastian Bachelet is speaking. Thank you for the invitation to give you an update. We have completed our first reading of all the comments and the answers that the group is willing to make. We will have the 12th of February, our second reading of our answer, and a first reading of any changes that we may suggest in the report of the subgroup. Therefore, I think we will be able to deliver the draft, revised draft, at the latest for the 21st of February. Maybe with some rush, we may be able to give it to the group to the 14th of February, but I'm not yet completely sure about that. I would like to raise a few points. The first one is, as you have already seen, that Cheryl asking for participation. I would like to urge you to participate in all the subgroups we have still work to do, because we need more voice to finance our work. The second, it's I have the impression that the main issue will be to deal with the board. Therefore, I think we'll have to have specifically some discussion with the board, and maybe the face-to-face meeting will be a good time. And my third comment is that it seems that the board is asking us as subgroup and as a full group to talk about budget, and I don't think that it's the duty neither from our subgroups and from the plenary. It's something we must deal with during the implementation phase, but I am wrong on this last point. I will be happy to know about that if there is any need to do such a work within the subgroup. Thank you very much. I hope that it's useful for everybody.
Thank you for that, Sebastian. Jordan here again. And yeah, in terms of those comments from the board in terms of finance and implementation and stuff, I think that Thomas will make a few remarks about that in the next agenda item, but it certainly isn't something that we see subgroups being responsible for. Are there any questions for Sebastian on his update? No. It was fairly quiet, but it's very early in the morning and where Seb is, I think, so that may be part of the issue. Can we come back to the jurisdiction item? Greg, is your audio working? Do we have a Greg? I guess we might not actually have a Greg. He's not on the list. There he is. Greg may have appeared. Greg, how are you going? Can we hear you now? It turns out that we cannot.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, now we can hear you. Hi, Greg. Please go ahead.
Okay. After I solved the audio problems, I got kicked out of the Adobe Connect room. In any case, Albert, on where we stand with jurisdiction, we've had a first read-through of all of the comments and have started a second read-through in which we're looking to see if there are any comments that might result in changes to our draft report. There have been several suggestions on the list in that regard, and we'll be discussing those on a call tomorrow at 1900 hours. And that's about the size of it.
Okay.
So if there are any questions, just let me know.
Are there any questions for Greg on that update? Any questions about the work of the jurisdiction subgroup? No? That's no hands up as well. So thank you, Greg, for that update. I can give a brief update on the staff accountability group. The group has done a couple of calls to analyze the comments that have come in and is working on formulating some revised recommendations. A couple of the calls have not reached the quorum requirement recently, so we're going to have to move possibly to a plenary process to approve any proposed changes once the group has worked through that on email. But I think currently we're going to be on track for the deadline involved. Bernie, do you want to add anything to that brief report back from me on staff accountability?
Yeah, unfortunate that we're having to cancel calls due to lack of participation, but I think there's just sort of, as Dave and Macaulay pointed out, we've been at this for a really long time. I think the fatigue is hitting in. But this being said, staff has talked with Jordan Avery, and we've got a plan to go forward, and I think we'll be meeting the deadline to have some staff accountability recommendations. Thank you.
Thanks, Bernie. Are there any questions on this update? There are none. I guess I would urge you all, to the extent that you have the stamina, sanity, tolerance, time, to carry on with your participation in these groups. We do need to land this in the next few weeks. I know that there are a lot of subgroup calls on, but your participation would be warmly welcomed and heartily encouraged in any or all of the groups that are currently meeting. And that, unless there are any other questions, or any questions, I think we can pass back over to the next co-chair who's having a part of the agenda for this meeting. And that is Thomas, who's going to speak with us on item 5, which is about the final report. So, Thomas, let me hand the floor over to you.
Thanks very much, Jordan. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the final report. And I will try to go through a couple of points with you, but I would like to ask Bernie to add to that should I have missed anything. Now, we have two subtopics. That's the structure of the final report and then the approach to presenting our recommendations. On the first point, I think I can be brief. We will more or less use the structure for Workstream 2 as we did for Workstream 1. And that means that we're going to have a summary for all of the subgroup reports, and then the full reports of the subteams will follow. And there is one speciality, if you wish, and that is that the jurisdiction subteam report will be a little bit longer because, as we've discussed earlier, we will add the transcript and additional materials from the extensive discussions that we had on this topic as promised to the wider community. And with respect to the summaries, the co-chairs have discussed this a little bit earlier, and we would like to suggest to the plenary that we engage the illustrators again in order to have visualizations of the outcome that we can use for presenting our findings to the community and you know, wider interested audience, because you know, the report might be quite complex. It might not be appropriate for, or not everyone might be inclined to go through the report and read everything. So since we are doing good on budget, we thought it would be a good idea to hire illustrators to have visualizations of the processes and the recommendations that we're coming up with. So let me open it up for objections or comments briefly. So if you have an issue with us moving forward and engaging the illustrators, let me know. And Fazi, I think that we might have some funds for cakes even if we do hire the illustrators. So David says it's a good idea. David, your hand is raised. Go ahead.
Thank you, Thomas. It's David McCauley. I just wanted to say to underscore the fact I think that's a great idea if we have the budget to do it, because even though the groups have been somewhat small in assembling to discuss these things, some of these are quite complex, including transparency, some of the things that are going on in some of the other groups. And so I just think it would be a good idea because, I'll use the transparency. It's a report that's quite lengthy. And so if there's some way to have some illustrations that might help the reader, I think it'd be a great idea. So hats off, Panama, hats off to you guys for thinking of it. Thank you.
Thanks so much, David. And I see green tick from Tara support in the chat. So unless we hear violent objections to this plan, we're going to move forward and take a first crack at it. And hopefully we're going to have first draft catches for you guys to review in the very near future. And through the back channel, I've received confirmation from Bernie that I've covered everything that needed to be covered on 5.1, which allows us to move to 5.2, and that's the approach to presenting the recommendations. And that is something that I guess we need to get clarity on as a CCWG plenary, but also we need to make sure that the wider community gets clarity on how this is going to be done. So a presentation of the recommendations has two major aspects to it, one of which is the approval process, which we have discussed at length internally, and we've also presented this to the wider community, but still I think we need to put something into our report describing how we came up with the final recommendations. And that is that, the community should be reminded that the same approval process as for Workstream 1 is applicable, that we have the approval by the CCWG accountability, then by the chartering organizations, then by the board, that the board can only turn down recommendations if it believes that it's not in the global public interest to implement a recommendation, and that a dialogue would follow in that case, and that there is a two-third majority requirement in the board to determine that implementing a recommendation that we came up with is not in the global public interest. So, since this mechanism resembles the Workstream 1 mechanism, but it doesn't go for granted, we think we need to put something into our report that describes this process, and I think it also describes quite nicely why, we had to work, we had to finalize our sub-team's report almost, more than half a year before the overall project is done, so this approval process is complex and taking quite some time. So I guess that this part, is more to explain what we're doing. What's somewhat new is how we implement, or how the Workstream 2 recommendations are being implemented. And I guess in that regard, we have to make sure that we manage the expectations of the community wisely, because there are already some concerns, how this can all be done and what the process for implementing Workstream 2 recommendations would be. And we've discussed this earlier amongst the co-chairs, and we would like to share with you briefly how we see this, hear your comments, and then we consider to issue a blog post as soon as we can to inform the community about the implementation process for Workstream 2. So, if you listen to what I have to say now, keep an eye on or listen closely whether you think that's something that we should share via co-chair's blog post. We've used that format of co-chair's blog post in the past multiple times, and maybe it's a good idea to do that prior to Puerto Rico, so that the content of the blog post can then be used as a topic to discuss with the community as well. Now, the situation in Workstream 2 is somewhat different from the Workstream 1 recommendation, because the U.S. government at the time has established the requirement for ICANN to implement the changes for those aspects that are directly related to the transition. And as Bernie mentioned earlier when we discussed the budget, you know, we had, you know, the primary cost driving factor was legal advice that we got. Now, in Workstream 2, there are not the same constraints as in Workstream 1, so we don't have a fixed deadline for having the Workstream 2 recommendations implemented. And therefore, we think what needs to be done is we come up with the final recommendations, and then it is up for the board primarily to discuss with the community on how these can be implemented over time. Many of the recommendations that that we've come up with, and I guess that the jurisdiction example is a perfect one, with the menu option that asks ICANN to consider certain points, but that doesn't prescribe exactly how things are going to be implemented. You know, that's something that takes some more time and deliberation, and maybe on some of the recommendations, the community wishes to set priorities differently than our report might suggest. There might be considerations of proportionality depending on the cost associated with the implementation. And talking about cost, what's sort of different between Workstream 1 and Workstream 2 is also the fact that in Workstream 1, we had to get things done in before a certain deadline or within a certain time frame, no matter what the costs were. And there has been some criticism that the costs were not managed wisely, that this whole project was too expensive, and therefore we have deployed new financial monitoring systems, and all our actions would require cost estimates. And this is something that Workstream 2 CCWG can't offer. So what we're suggesting is to put these points into the communication with the community to make clear that we're coming up with the policy recommendations, but that the implementation part is something that needs to be taken care of subsequently and separately, and that this requires a dialogue with the community, and that we are going to install something like implementation oversight to make sure that the Workstream 2 recommendations are implemented in the spirit of our recommendations, but we will not go further. So that the community is clear that there is no specific time frame within which all of our recommendations will for sure be implemented, because that might stretch over a period of time. So I think I should pause here and see whether there are any comments from your side. I see that David is commenting that this makes good sense. Thanks so much, David, for that comment. Any further views? Sebastian, your hand is raised. Over to you.
Thank you, Thomas. Sebastian Bachelet speaking. I have one or two comments. The first one is that I am happy that we have not to deal with the finance or budget issue here, but later on in the process, and that's an important point. The second, I would like your confirmation, and maybe the confirmation of the full group, that we try to do everything not to have bylaw changes, because one of the points in our subgroup on ombuds is that in the reality, we may have changed the bylaw, but the goal we have, as we heard the coach asking us not to make bylaw changes and to try to work around that, and it will need a full agreement of the board. Therefore, it's why I raised the issue of dealing with the board comments in, I would say, special manner, because they are commenting, but they will be the one who will decide for the implementation. And I think giving no delay or no timeline could get a big delay for some of the recommendation, and I don't think that it will be fair for the community. Therefore, I would like very much that we find, I would say, an agreement with the board on how we will deal with all that. Thank you.
That's a good point, Sebastian. Let's try to frame this. I guess we can't ask for a specific period of time within which things have to be implemented, because as I tried to explain earlier, you know, cost implications are huge and resources are scarce, so there might be a prioritization and timing requirement to be observed here, but maybe we can ask for, let's say, a kickoff, a scoping exercise or something comparable to be conducted in the very near future so that the process at least gets started. David, your hand is raised. David, over to you.
Thank you, Thomas. It's David McCauley again, for the record. I agree with Sebastian that we should avoid language that would sort of be in the nature of trying to direct bylaws changes. But I also would want to go a little bit further and say that these subgroups, and I know that also in the IRP group, we're looking at the bylaws in some respects fairly intensively, and these are new bylaws, sort of mammoth bylaws. And so we're the first ones that are really sort of jumping into them in detail. And so it seems to me that if a group along the way comes up with a suggestion that the board may want to consider a bylaw change, that might be well worth stating as in the report, in the nature of saying, oh, by the way, here are certain complications we see with respect to bylaw number X, and you may want to consider making a revision. I just think because we're sort of the pioneers jumping into the details of these bylaws, that might be a good idea. Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, David. That's a good point. Any further comments? Jordan.
I put my comments into the chat, basically saying that on the broader implementation task, these proposals have been stable for a while in the Workstream 2 report. I would expect that the organization could present a proposed implementation approach either at the June meeting or at the very latest at the October meeting in Barcelona. And we should expect nothing less. You know, this isn't complicated stuff. The organization does need to commit to implementing it. It has the capacity and capability of analyzing the implications and the costs and so on and coming back with something reasonable to the community. That's something that the board and staff should be working on.
Okay, so we have this concrete proposal from Jordan that the board should come up with something by Panama. Now, I hear what you're saying, you know, so thanks for all your comments. You want something more concrete, and I would suggest that we just take this feedback. We can't really make promises because it's not on us to decide what the board can do by the mid of this year, but I suggest that we try to test the waters and reach out to the board to at least agree on an initial step on how this can be operationalized. Are there any objections to issuing a blog post describing the implementation or the, you know, the nature of implementation of the Workstream 2 recommendations being somewhat different from Workstream 1? So that's just the community expectations are managed properly. So I don't see any objections, but some support, some green ticks. Good. So let's then proceed on that basis. Let me turn to Bernie. Bernie, is there anything that you'd like to add to this?
Maybe just review what the process internally will look like once we finish our work. As you mentioned, Thomas, we will need to get SOA, chartering organizations, the SOs and the ACs, approval for this. Once that's finalized, it doesn't go straight to the board like this. We have to remember in Works 1, there was a lot of work going on in the background and in parallel, which is not happening here. But once these recommendations in our final report are put together and approved by the chartering organization, then ICANN-ORG will take this and have to start drafting, if you will, the first phase of an implementation plan, which will have to look at costing and prioritization and implementation issues, because that's what the board is going to want to look at to make a decision on these things. So I think, although Jordan is right, we've been at this for a while, there is some fair amount of homework to be done to be able to, if you will, have the reference sheet for our recommendations available for the board so they can make an informed decision. And once they have that, then they will make that decision. And then we go into implementation mode. So that's a bit of the process that we're going through. And as part of the implementation mode, I think that's where we're going to see some of the discussions with the community, because when the board approves something, they're going to say, well, we're not going to say when these things get done, because we're going to have to work with the community as per the very well-developed budget process that we have in ICANN. And as Thomas mentioned earlier, there are some choices that are going to have to be made. And it's not, I don't think ICANN sees themselves as the power that be that's going to make those decisions. I think there will have to be discussions with the community about where we put resources when. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Bernie. So, Fabiani says, I think the board needs a deadline to decide on implementation, having strict deadlines in the work, in the past work very well. So, okay, I understand, you know, the comments that we got are going to the direction of getting something concrete on the table. I didn't hear any objection to, you know, us reaching out to the board and see how we can get this process started, and we will then report back to this plenary. So let's make this an action item for the co-chairs to reach out to the board to start the discussion on the implementation. And I guess with that, I've said pretty much everything that I wanted to convey. Thanks very much for listening, and we will come up with draft illustrations, we will come up with a draft blog post, and we will also reach out to the board on the implementation. Thanks so much, and for the next agenda item, I'm going to hand it back over to John.
Thank you very much, Thomas. And so now, agenda item number 6, any other business? Is there any other business? The next plenary will be February 13, 100 UTC. And the next one will be on Wednesday, 21 February.
Tijani, we're having a great deal of trouble hearing you. Okay, I don't think
that's do you hear me better?
Okay, you're back.
Okay, thank you. So, did you hear me when I spoke about any other business?
Yes, but we did not really hear you for Section 7.
Okay, so section item number 7, 7.1, the next plenary will take place on Thursday, 14 February at 1300 UTC. And the next one will be on Wednesday, 21 February at 1900 UTC. Any comments? There is no comment. I think that we did everything. So thank you very much for attending and for this productive plenary. Thank you for our staff, and this plenary is adjourned.